morning's Bible reading. It will be from Luke chapter 23. If you've got a Bible at the door, you'll find it on page 735. Starting at verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the Chosen One." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 PM, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Then when he said this, he breathed his last.
I'm not sure about you, but it's possible that I will now always think of those criminals as a lion and an elephant. Good to have the lamb in the middle. Very appropriate. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we were just singing about our need for grace and your wonderful gift of grace in Jesus. Father, deepen our understanding of your loving grace this morning as we listen carefully to your word and to the words of Jesus from the cross. We pray in his name. Amen. I've spent some time this week looking into famous last words. I've got to say it's quite addictive reading lists of people's last words, famous last words. A person's last words, I think, can reveal a lot. Of course, not everybody's. Most of us will probably die with a moan and a groan. That won't mean much at all. But if we can get anything out, they can reveal a lot. A lot about what sort of person the dying person was, about what they loved, and about what they thought life and death were all about. So, for example, here were some that I came across. This striking lady is Marie Antoinette. You might know her from the time of the French Revolution. A queen to the last, Marie Antoinette stepped on her executioner's foot on her way to the guillotine. And unfazed by her circumstances, she uttered her last words. Of course, it was in French, but in English it was, "Pardon me, sir, I did not do it on purpose." Obviously a very noble character, Marie Antoinette. Tough guy actor John Wayne died at the age of 72. His last words were addressed to his wife, who was concerned that he didn't recognise her anymore. But he turned to her and said, "Of course I know who you are. You're my girl. I love you." Not such a tough guy after all, eh? This fellow is Wilson Meisner. He was an American playwright. And he was visited by a priest on his deathbed. And the priest said to him, "I am sure you want to talk to me." And Meisner told the priest, Why should I talk to you? I've just been talking to your boss. But in contrast, actress Joan Crawford yelled at her housekeeper who was praying for her as Crawford died. She cried, "Damn it, don't you dare ask God to help me." This man is Michael Faraday, a renowned chemical scientist, and nearing his death, his wife asked him if he had ever pondered what his occupation might be in the next life. And this man who had given so much of his life to his work, in answer, calmly uttered his last words, "I will be with Christ, and that is enough." What else he might do didn't matter at all to him. As you approach death, whether it's close or far away, as you approach death, as we all must, I wonder what your last words might reveal about you, about your character, what sort of person you are, about who you love, about what you've put your hope in, about where you stand with God, and about your eternal destiny. Now, being Good Friday, we're going to spend some time thinking about Jesus' last words from the cross. These are sometimes known as Jesus' seven words. That doesn't mean literal words. It means seven phrases, seven sayings of Jesus from the cross. And I'd love to look closely at all seven words, but we don't have time. So instead, we're just going to focus on one of them, one saying of Jesus from the cross, and then we'll briefly look at a couple of others towards the end. All seven, though, are listed on the back of that outline, the Sunday handout, or the Friday handout that you were given at the door. And you can take time, and I suggest you do take some time this weekend to read those in context. So they're all listed there, but so are the references in the Bible, and you can read those in context during the weekend. You might notice that they're taken from all four of the Gospels and put together there as Jesus' seven words. Well, today we're going to look at Jesus' words spoken to the criminal on the cross that we heard in the kids' talk and we heard again in the Bible reading. It's easy to forget that three men were crucified on Good Friday. In verse 33, though, we read that when they came to the place called the Skull, an appropriate name for a place of death, they crucified him, that is Jesus there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. These criminals sometimes have been called thieves in the past. In two of the other Gospels, Matthew and Mark, they're known as rebels, which suggests that they were enemies of the state and were being crucified by Rome for their rebellion. Chances are they were probably people who knew Barabbas quite well, Barabbas who had been freed by Pilate instead of Jesus. Now, one of these criminals joins in with the soldiers and the crowd who have been mocking Jesus. And we read his words in verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus. "Aren't you the Messiah?" So God's promised king who has come to save Israel. "Aren't you the Messiah? Well, save yourself and us." This man looks at the sign above Jesus' head, which said, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." And he looks at that sign and he looks down just below it at the crown of thorns topping his naked bloody body. And all he sees is irony. They don't match, you see. What sort of king is this hanging on a cross? What a joke that this beaten man could save anyone. But the second criminal sees something very different when he looks at Jesus. And so he rebukes the first criminal. Have a look in verse 40. He says to him, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence? We're punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. You see, the second criminal sees an even deeper irony than the first. That is, he sees that in spite of appearances, the sign above Jesus' head is in fact true. That the bowed and broken man hanging next to him on the cross is, in fact, the King of the Jews. He is the Messiah who has come to save. And that is exactly what he's doing. That's exactly what he's doing. But not by coming down from the cross, by staying on the cross. He's not going to save others by saving himself. He's going to save others by giving himself. He is innocent, but his death is not a tragedy. It is a triumph. He's going to give his innocent life for the guilty. He's going to take on sin and death and hell and Satan and every evil power, and he is going to win. He will reign. And somehow this second criminal sees this. He catches a glimpse of it. And so he makes his request of Jesus. Jesus. Now, he is the only person in the entire Gospel of Luke who calls Jesus, Jesus. Just plain Jesus. Just ordinary, intimate Jesus. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. Do you see in Jesus what this criminal sees? Jesus isn't going to save him from death. He knows he's going to die. His life is ebbing from him, even as he asks. Jesus isn't going to save him from death. Jesus is going to save him through death. Jesus himself is about to die. That is clear. But the criminal's request, his appeal, only makes sense if he believes that Jesus has a future. A future beyond death, a future as a king beyond death, a king who will reign over a kingdom beyond the grave. And that's why he says, remember me. And Jesus answers him. And really, his answer is, I don't have to remember you, because I tell you truly, today you will be with me in paradise. Today, no memory required. Today you will be with me in paradise. It's an astonishing promise, isn't it, that Jesus makes to this criminal? Astonishing in so many ways. Firstly, the criminal is clearly unworthy. He has nothing to offer. He is about to die. He is driven by fear. He is simply undeserving. But Jesus doesn't care about any of that, because this is exactly why he came. This is exactly who he came for. Broken, dying, guilty, desperate rebels who turn to him in repentance and faith. No matter how flawed, no matter how late, Jesus' love and mercy and grace flows freely from the cross. In fact, Jesus' love and mercy and grace stand behind all his words from the cross. It's how he can pray for his enemies, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Of course they knew what they were doing. They were killing this man. Many of them knew that he was innocent. They knew what they were doing. But they didn't know who he was. They didn't believe. They didn't understand that he was the Son of God. Which doesn't lessen their guilt. And yet Jesus prays for them. Father, forgive. Father, forgive my enemies. Father, forgive the ones who put me here. Jesus' love and mercy and grace are how he can be more concerned for his mother and for his friend than he is for himself. When he says to Mary, his mum, as he dies, woman, here is your son. She's providing for her future. He is providing for her future. And to John, he says, here is your mother. Look after her. Jesus' love and mercy and grace are how he can face the rejection and wrath of the Father as he carries the sin of the world and cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? And his love and his mercy and grace are how he can stay faithful to his Father to the very end and entrust himself to him even through his suffering. I trust you, Father. It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. What love is this that pays so dearly that I, the guilty one, may go free? Friends, the crucial thing for us to understand as we look on at these three men is to understand that we are all one of these criminals, one of the two, either one. And this we can't deny. The proof is that the sentence of death still hangs over each one of us. So the question isn't whether we are a rebel, but which one are we? Are you the one who humbly admits his guilt and turns to Jesus in repentance and faith? Or are you the one who clings to your pride, refusing to admit your need for Jesus, to face death still in your sin? That's your choice. Are you the one who fears God, or are you the one who mocks his maker and judge? Are you the one who seeks your place in the memory of the King? Or are you the one who rejects Jesus' claim as ruler of heaven and earth and over your life as one of his subjects? Which one are you? You must be one. Which one? Many of you know why today is Good Friday. You've put your lot in with Jesus, and by his grace you are citizens of paradise. Today you are citizens of paradise. Yes, you are not there yet, but you are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And let me encourage you today in the memory and the power of Easter to walk in faith so that you will be remembered and welcomed by Jesus when his kingdom is revealed, as it surely will be. But some of you here today continue to rebel, continue to reject the King who gave his life to save you. Well, today is the day to change that. Don't wait to the last minute. It's likely it'll be too late. So today is the day to change it before it's too late and you're forgotten forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and grace and mercy which flow freely from the cross. Thank you for this brief conversation that brought life to an undeserving criminal. Thank you that it forces us to consider where we stand with you and with Jesus. Father, please help us not to dismiss what we read in your word. Please help us instead to see that Jesus is the King, not only of the Jews, but of the whole world, that he reigns in heaven, and that in mercy he offers us a place with him in paradise. Father, help us to trust him through repentance and faith, and to live obediently, holding on as we wait for him to return. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.